As early as a decade before his death, Caliph Abdulmumin had chosen his son Muhammad to be his heir. However, in a shocking twist, another one of Abdulmumin's sons, Umar, pushed him out of succession and had his brother Yusuf installed as the caliph. Abu Yaqub Yusuf and Umar were sons of the same woman. The Almohad elites would, from this point on, mostly consist of the descendants of these two brothers. When Abdulmumin died, Umar was with him and managed to keep his death a secret till Yusuf arrived in the capital, and since he was the first to arrive in the capital, he was able to secure power. Muhammad was angry, but he couldn't do much. Yusuf had just recently defeated Ibn Mardanish in Granada, and hence was quite popular at the time. Three other sons of Abdulmumin objected to Yusuf being installed against their father's instructions. One of them mysteriously died, and the other two got a visit from some people who managed to convince them to swear loyalty to Yusuf. Yusuf was around 25 years of age, and had been a mostly popular governor of Seville for a few years. He wasn't much of a military man though, but he was an intellectual and liked to surround himself with like-minded people and collected books. Some famous figures like Ibn Rushd or Averroes and Ibn Tufayl were often found in his presence. A private collector in Seville writes, "The commander of the faithful came to hear of my collections. So he sent Ghafur the eunuch with a selected group of slaves to my house when I was in the government offices and knew nothing about it. He ordered him not to frighten anyone in the house and not to take anything except books, and then threatened him and those with him with the direst punishments if the people of the house lost so much as a pin. I was told about this while I was at the office, and I thought he had intended to confiscate all my property. So almost out of my mind, I rode to my house. There was the eunuch Ghafur standing at the door, and the books were being brought out to him. When he saw that I was obviously terrified, he said, 'Don't panic,' and added that the caliph sent me his greetings, and had mentioned me favorably, and he carried on smiling until I relaxed. Then he said, 'Ask the members of your household if anyone has frightened them, or if they are missing anything.' And they replied, 'Nobody has frightened us, and nothing is missing.' Abul Musk Ghafur came and asked our permission 3 times, and said that we are free to go. Then he himself went into the library store and ordered that the books be removed. When I heard this, all my anxiety disappeared." However, collecting books was not the most important thing at the time. Before Abdulmumin died, he had assembled an army to invade Christian Spain. Yusuf was itching to pull the trigger on that. Umar landed in Al-Andalus with the ambition to put an end to Ibn Mardanish and to secure the loyalties of his brothers. Various brothers of his came to him to swear loyalty to the new caliph. Afterwards, they left for Cordoba, from where they went on to march against Ibn Mardanish. Around 60 kilometers from Cordoba was an outpost of Ibn Mardanish, who used it to harass the city. This outpost was attacked and quickly subdued. The countryside was ravaged. The army acted like an invading force and looted everything they could. The army apparently didn't have many supplies for the campaign and were relying on loot to pay the soldiers. The Almohad army marched on Murcia to put an end to Ibn Mardanish. However, he met them first. Battle ensued and resulted in a victory for Almohad. Ibn Mardanish fell back to the walled city of Murcia. Almohad tried to take the city but failed and eventually retired. In Almohad propaganda, however, this was painted as a great victory. Umar returned soon to the Maghrib. At the same time as this, in the west, Almohad were facing another crisis. A Portuguese man named Giraldo Sampaor was attacking Almohad cities. He even managed to take cities like Evora and Carceres. However, he was just a freelancer and sold those cities to whoever would buy them. In May 1169 CE, he even attacked Badajoz. He forced Almohad garrison there to take shelter in the Alcazaba and asked the King of Portugal for help. Yusuf dispatched an army to secure Badajoz. However, this time Christian rivalries helped the Muslims. The King of Leon did not want to see Badajoz in the hands of the King of Portugal and helped the Muslims to fend off this attack. In summer of 1169 CE, Ibn Mardanish was seriously weakened when his father-in-law Ibn Hamushk joined the Almohad. The reason behind this was that Ibn Mardanish had divorced his daughter, and so he feared that Ibn Mardanish might attack him. He helped the Almohad plan out an attack on Ibn Mardanish, but it never came to fruition as Ibn Mardanish died in 1172 CE. His small state crumbled right after. Ibn Mardanish had great relations with the Christians, who referred to him as Rex Lupus in their books, meaning the Wolf King. After him, his son swore loyalty to the Almohad. In 1172 CE, the caliph himself arrived in Al-Andalus to lead a jihad against the Christians. His army, 20,000 men total, was made up of Arabs and Berbers. He was supported by the Andalusians as well. He was told that Ceuta would be a good target. However, it was a small town, and when it was attacked, the Christian troops fell to the citadel. Abul Ala ibn Azub, An Andalusi commander who played a leading role in the attack recalls that he had a chance to take the city and end it quickly. However, the caliph did not respond to his requests of reinforcement. A siege was started. Siege engines were built. The Arabs and the Almohad were having trouble working together. The caliph showed little to no seriousness in the matter. While it was in the middle of summer, the weather turned against him. On top of everything, supply lines were disrupted and news reached Yusuf that Alfonso VIII was planning an attack. The caliph lost his nerve. The siege had to be abandoned. While they were planning to move out, their rear was attacked by the garrison and the sick and the weak were slaughtered. Let me repeat this. The caliph, on his jihad, laid siege with more than 20,000 men to an insignificant little town and failed to take it. However, this was only the beginning of his odyssey. They then headed east. They eventually made their camp on the river Yukar. However, news reached again that Alfonso was coming. The caliph thought it best to move across the river, as to put a river between him and Alfonso in case fighting breaks out. The crossing of the river was a mess. There was panic and a lack of discipline led to casualties. Yusuf held a council with his commanders. The Almohad and Andalusis agreed to fight, but the Arabs, perhaps out of fear, refused and said that they need an open field for battle. The next morning, the scouts reported that the Christian army had left. The caliph decided to go to Murcia to visit Ibn Mardanish's kingdom and consolidate his control there. However, he did not take into account the long mountainous road and his increasingly shrinking supplies. The main body of the march got separated from the baggage train, which was slow due to all the climb. Men and animals started to die of hunger. To boost morale, Yusuf paid some of the troops, but it didn't work that much. Finally, they reached Bunal, on the edge of Valencia. Here, the army began to disperse. The Andalusis started to go home. When he finally arrived in Murcia, he bestowed great honor upon the Banu Mardanish. Leaders from all across Al-Andalus and Morocco came pouring in to congratulate him on a successful campaign, because that's the power of propaganda. Over the next decade or so, Al-Andalus was vulnerable. The caliph left it and the Christians started raiding. Muslims were too weak to defend and instead they chose to counter-raid. At the same time, Beja was taken by Portugal. They harassed the citizens and forced them to flee. The city was difficult to control, so they burned it and abandoned it. Muslims came back after a truce with Portugal and tried to repopulate it. Significant money was spent on its repair and repopulation. However, an Almohad raiding party had been defeated nearby, and the people of Beja were afraid that the army might come for them next. Since the defenses weren't finished, they decided to abandon the city and move to Mertola. Muslim rule over Beja was over after 4.5 centuries. While Christians were successful at their campaigns, they were pulled back by inter-Christian rivalries. However, still they were able to fend off Muslim raids. Al-Andalus was under pressure from all sides, even the sea. The rulers there made pleas to the caliph for help, but the caliph was busy. First with a plague that had broken out, and then with a long and expensive campaign into Tunisia. After they were both done, he decided to expand his city instead. He arrived in Al-Andalus in 1184, and this time he brought siege engines. First thing he did was install his sons to power of various important cities. Cordoba, Seville, Granada, and Murcia were given to his sons. This marks a point where power went from the sons of Abdulmomin to the sons of Yusuf. Santarem had been used to launch many raids against the Almohad, and the caliph decided that this would be his target. He arrived there with his army, which had all the morale and supplies it needed. The suburbs were taken and a siege was started. However, here too, the caliph lost his nerve after getting the news that the king of Leon was coming to relieve the city. He thought that his army was exposed, so he ordered the camps be moved across the river. Confusion and panic once again broke out, and the caliph was left mostly alone in a conspicuous red tent, which was attacked by the garrison of the city, and Yusuf was mortally wounded, dying a few days later. This campaign had been another one of Yusuf's trademark fiascos. The caliph's death was a closely guarded secret until his son and heir Yaqub was able to secure the support of his father's commanders and noblemen in Seville and in Marrakesh. Yaqub was more interested in warfare than his father had been. He soon wanted to resume jihad but was occupied by a war closer to home. The Banu Ghaniya were a member of the Almoravids and ruled over Balearic Islands. They had maintained power because Almohad didn't think that they were powerful enough to even bother. They had also paid tribute in the past, so they were on good terms with the caliph. However, in 1184 CE, the friendly ruler, Muhammad ibn Ishaq, was overthrown by his brothers. They began hostilities with the Almohad. There were still tribes in the Maghrib that were vassals of the Almoravids at one point. One such tribal dynasty was the Banu Hamad in Bajaya. Ali, the ruler of Banu Ghaniya, landed there with 30 ships and took control. This was a declaration of war. The caliph, instead of trying to fight him in Africa, attacked his heartland, Majorca. However, the war in Africa raged on. The caliph led an army to Tunis in 1187 CE. After an initial defeat, the Almohad were able to destroy the Banu Ghaniya and their Arab allies. Their final stronghold at Gafsa fell in 1188 CE. The Caliph returned to Marrakesh because he was afraid of his relatives plotting against him. One of these was his uncle, Abu Ishaq Ibrahim, who had been made governor of Tlemcen and had used his position to criticize the Caliph's plan. He was removed from office and was lynched by the crowd as he left the Caliph's presence. It seems that another uncle, Suleiman, governor of Tadla in central Morocco, had intended to join the conspiracy, but he was arrested. In Al-Andalus, his own brother, Umar al-Rashid, governor of Murcia, had entered into negotiations with Alfonso VIII. When the Caliph returned in triumph, al-Rashid's followers deserted him, and he went to Marrakesh, trusting in his brother's benevolence. None of the family of Abdul-Mumin had been executed before, but the Caliph was taking no chances. Suleiman and al-Rashid were taken to Saleh and killed. The Caliph is said to have felt great remorse on his deathbed for the execution of his relatives. The Caliph started his sixth year of reign, 1190 CE, by renewing jihad against the Christians. In these 6 years, the Christians had been somewhat successful, but they were always pulled back by their own rivalries. This renewed jihad was in response to 1189, when Sancho I of Portugal was able to take Silves, which was surrendered to him after a siege, which saw the Muslim garrison at Silves depleted of supplies. Sancho had help from troops from Northern Europe, who were going for the Third Crusade. Yes, the Third Crusade was raging at the time, in the east, but its effects weren't really felt in Muslim Spain or Morocco. While the siege of Silves was going on, Alfonso VIII led a raiding mission deep into Al-Andalus, halting any attempts by Almohad to retrieve Silves. When the Caliph landed in Al-Andalus, he sent a force to take Silves, along with naval support. However, they were unsuccessful because the desert nomads had no idea how to lay siege to a city just like the Almoravids. The Almohad and Almoravids were more similar than they'd like to admit. At the time, the Caliph was in Cordoba, the capital of Almohad, Spain. There, he concluded a treaty with Castilians. He already had a treaty with Leon. Now Portugal was isolated. During this trip, he also visited Umayyad sites in Al-Andalus. The ruins of Madinat al-Zahra especially made an impact on him. From there, he marched on Torres Novas, north of the river Tagus. The city was surrendered to him and the Christians were allowed to leave. The city was ravaged as the Almohads had no intention of holding on to it. They had their eyes on a bigger prize, the greater fortress at Tomar. It was defended by the Templars. There, once again, their lack of siege capabilities was on full display. After some 6 days, dysentery broke out, supplies and morale ran low, and the siege was abandoned. A grand parade was held to mark the return of the army, and letters describing the triumph were sent out. The Almohad were just all in on the propaganda. Reminds me of someplace, actually. This Caliph was determined to learn from his mistakes. He realized that supplies on the Portuguese coasts could be brought in by ships. So early next year, he began a siege of Alcázar do Sal, a small town on the coast south of Lisbon, known to the Arabs as Qasr Abidanes. This city wasn't important, but it could serve the role of a vital supply port for future campaigns. Once again, siege was laid to Silves. This time, however, they were victorious and took the city in a surprise attack. The Caliph, satisfied by his victory, left for Morocco. The Caliph spent the next 4 years on building projects. However, in 1195 CE, he went back to Al-Andalus. This time, he was challenged by Alfonso VIII of Castile. The king was so confident of his power that he didn't wait for reinforcements from Leon and faced the Caliph because he remembered how ineffective the Almohad had been in the previous 2 decades. While the Almohad lacked the skills for a siege, they were more than capable of a field battle. Yaqub was more capable and courageous than his father had been. Alfonso faced a humiliating defeat. Yaqub, who now took the title of Al-Mansur, the victorious, took some strategic castles from Castile as well, but ultimately fell back to Seville, where he spent the winter gardening. Alfonso VIII sent ambassadors for peace, but Yaqub was just getting started. See you next time.